call the meeting to order. It is 1:30 p.m. on Monday, April 2nd, 2019. Present is Representative Knopf, Representative LeBond, Representative Tilton, Representative Carpenter, Vice Chair Johnston, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Merrick, Representative Josephson, and Representative Ortiz. And I'm Representative Wilson. And today, I know you've been waiting for this, is the capital budget. We're going to have an overview of the capital budget, and then you will see at your seat it itemized down to what's exactly in the budget, and we will do that after we have the overview. So it looks like we have Ms. Sanders, Budget Director of OMB. If you come forward and bring anyone that you would like to, please put yourselves on the record, and you may begin your presentation. So the good news is we must have found some money.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Lacey Sanders, Budget Director for the Office of Management and Budget.
I'm Shelley Wilhoy, Capital Coordinator with OMB.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Laura Kramer, and I am Deputy Director at OMB.
This afternoon, I was going to walk through the Office of Management and Budget's overview of the capital budget for FY 2020. Before you, you should have a PowerPoint presentation. Starting on page 3, the FY 2020 capital project requests that were put before you on February 13th from the governor included deferred maintenance projects, projects that meet federal matching requirements, and also projects to maximize federal funding for project grants. The original project request totaled $1,261,259.3 and was made up of $143 million worth of general funds, $90 million worth of other funds, and $1,027 million worth of federal funds. There have been amendment packages that have been put forward to the legislature on both March 14th and March 27th. Those projects should be a part of the information that you have in front of you and include an increase in $10 million of other receipts as well as a decrease of $12.5 million in federal funds. The total budget, amended budget, totals $1,258,818,000.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you talk a little bit about the reason for the reduction in federal funds of $12,571,000?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, the decrement that occurred in the amendments was related to the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Impact Grants. The Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development submitted two amendments to the legislature. One was for a supplemental that distributed an amount of grant funding available that was received in 2019. The second amendment trued up the same grant projects for FY 20. The amount was an estimate that was put forward in the initial budget of approximately $19 million. The department went through the grant process, and with actual funding that was received, it was closer to $6 million, and so that was the largest portion of the federal reduction.
Follow up.
So the NPRA revenues were less than what we'd expected?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, yes. There may be an additional grant process later in FY 2020 if additional federal revenue is received. But as of this time, the amount of revenue that was received was approximately $6.5 million, and that is the amount that's being allocated in the 2020 budget.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to slide number 4. This is just a historical summary of the capital requests by funding source. So in blue, you have unrestricted general fund appropriations from FY 2016 through FY 2020. In addition, we have included the distribution of designated general funds, other general funds, and federal receipts. So just a visualization for the committee to see the historical capital budget.
put before you. Moving on to slide five, as Chair Wilson mentioned earlier, this presentation was put together as an overview, providing a snapshot of the capital budget requests put before you. This is a breakdown by agency of the amount of the requests, and it does include the amendments, both amendment packages that were put forward in March, for a total of, again, the $1.2 billion capital budget. Slide number six is just highlights that the administration wanted to bring to the attention of what was included in the capital budget. The first item is the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Federal Highway Surface Transportation Project. It consists of $690 million of federal receipts, as well as $35 million of unrestricted general funds that are matching those highway funds. The total required amount for the federal highway match is $60 million. There is a reappropriation requested in the capital budget, which takes $25 million from the Tustamina replacement and repurposes that for federal highway match to meet the FY 2020 match requirement.
We have a question from Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This particular reappropriation, if that weren't so, there was $500 million. How much money was there in federal monies for the replacement of the Tustamina if it were to go forward?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, my number, I'm remembering $220 million of federal receipts.
So do you have any idea, probably not a fair question for yourself, but do you have any idea with the 220 and the state match that was there, how close that came to actually replacing the construction cost of replacing the Tustamina?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, I'm not comfortable speaking on how far the project made it along. I know that there was some work done on design, but that's as much information. Do you have information?
I do.
Okay. I don't have an answer for you on that.
I can find out.
Madam Chair, Representative Ortiz, this is Laura Kramer for the record. The federal funds and the state matching funds for the project would have fully funded the Tustamina replacement.
Follow up?
Follow up. So would it also be safe to say that if that reappropriation wasn't made, in other words, if we didn't take that particular action, that doesn't necessarily mean that we would see if I can get this right. You're saying that what you're asking for is a reappropriation of federal monies, $690,000 to the highway program. Is that correct? With this move?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz. This move only takes the general fund portion that was matching the Tustamina project and reappropriates it to the capital project for federal highway surface transportation. It does not move the federal receipts that were allocated for that project. Those receipts are still sitting with that project.
And it's $690 million for the project, not $690,000.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah.
No problem. Just want to make sure we're talking about the right
there.
Numbers.
Anyway.
Follow up?
No follow-up at this time. Thank you.
So I do have a question on the $690 million on the federal funds. It's my understanding that that number may actually be as high as $750 million. Do we have, I guess I'm just trying to find out where the $690 million, is that where we currently are from some kind of documentation we've received from the federal government, and maybe possibly the going up on that amount might be last year. I think there were states who didn't use all their funding, and then kind of there was a round two. Those, so just trying to find out whether or not how steady that $690 million is and what the odds are that we might actually be able to get more.
To the chair, Representative Wilson, Chair Wilson, my understanding is that the 690 is the maximum amount that will be received in FY 2020.
I have not received additional information from the Department of Transportation that says that there is an additional allocation that will be made.
Perfect. Just want to make sure we're matching whatever funds are available. Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, for Ms. Sanders, the money that is the sizable federal match for the test meter replacement, you said it will stay in that account effectively. Given the administration's belief that the state shouldn't have a direct role, or at least a purely government-backed role in the ferry system, what is the intent of the administration with those monies ultimately?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, the intent currently is to bring on the marine consultant and work through the process of what the future of the Alaska Marine Highway System is going to look like. The match funding that is allocated here is being reappropriated to the Federal Highway Surface Transportation Project. And until we have a report or a study completed by this marine consultant, that project is not moving forward at this time.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, you may continue.
Thank you. Moving on to the second item within the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is the Airport Improvement Program, which totals $198,700,000. It is broken down into 187,200 in federal receipts and $11.5 million worth of other receipts. This specific project was amended in the March 14th submission of amendments to increase the other receipts by a total of $21,500,000. The next item bringing to your attention is the statewide federal programs. This is a matching program that consists of $38,500,000 worth of federal receipts, $10 million worth of other receipts, and $238.3 worth of general funds. As I mentioned earlier, in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Impact Grant Program was amended in the March 14th packet. It was initially put forward as an estimate of $19 million worth of federal receipts and has been reduced to approximately $6.5 million. In addition, the amendment packet that was received allocated the funding to the individual grants based on the department's grant solicitation process that was completed. All right. Within the Department of Environmental Conservation's budget, we do have these Village Safe Water projects. They total $64,830,000, of which $52,250,000 is out federal receipts, matched with $12,080,000 of general funds and $500,000 worth of other receipts. These typically are statutory designated program receipts that the communities may be able to contribute towards the project. Within the Department of Natural Resources, there is
Department of Environmental Conservation. I'm sorry, I was waiting.
Fine.
Could you tell me how much these projects were last year? How much was spent? Did we meet our federal obligation as far as the matching funds, or did we use more UGF than federal?
Chair Wilson, because I do not have the expenditure detail in front of me, if it would be okay, we will get back to the committee with the details on your question. Break down on what the expenditures are. I don't have that information in front of me today.
Thank you. And also one of the concerns, since you're going to be getting back to us on this, is that once villages are able to put the system in, whatever the system is, what does the department do to make sure that they're able to maintain that system that they didn't currently have? It's my understanding that has become a pretty big issue where maintenance money comes from. Most areas don't have a very big population and don't have any kind of tax base. But I was just curious, when they go for these funds, you know, what's required by the department to make sure that once it's there, how they're able to keep up with the maintenance portion of it? Thank you.
Absolutely. Sorry, lost my notes. The next item is the Department of Natural Resources South Denali Visitors Center. This project is utilizes two dividend funds that the state of Alaska receives. $4.5 million of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation dividend amount, as well as $10.3 million of ADA dividends. So these are dividends that are returned to the state on an annual basis and are classified as unrestricted general funds and are available for appropriation. In addition, there is a $10.2 million of ADA receipts. This would be coming from the ADA Corporation's revolving loan funds, or excuse me, their corporation's receipts that are being utilized towards this project.
We have a question from Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you tell me a little bit about how these ADA dividends and ADA receipts have been used in previous budget cycles? Were they similar type projects, or how were they used?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, the dividend funds specifically can be used at the discretion of the legislature. So those funds are, again, classified as unrestricted general funds. They can be used on and have been used on a variety of projects. It's not utilized for one specific item. The ADA receipts have historically been used in the operations of the ADA Corporation.
Follow up?
So could you repeat that last answer again?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, the ADA receipts have typically been used in the operations of the ADA Corporation.
So is it the department's understanding that the ADA Corporation doesn't need those receipts to run themselves in this upcoming year?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, I can't speak on the details of the analysis that was done by the Department of Revenue, but it is my understanding that there was excess receipts available in the ADA Corporation that were available for appropriation. There are two instances in the governor's budget that were put forward that utilizes the ADA receipts. This is one of them.
Thank you.
Yep. Representative Johnston.
A follow-up to that, Madam Chair. I'm trying to visualize the ADA Corporation, and where I could see where the receipts maybe would be coming from, let's say, Red Dog Mine, where probably the bonds have been paid off because it's been a long term, and there's still a lease agreement, and the receipts would be coming from that lease agreement. Would this be accurate?
Through the chair, Representative Johnston, I would like to follow up with you if that's okay. That is not my understanding. This is their available receipts that the corporation can use to invest in projects, but I would like to have a conversation and follow up in writing with the committee if that's okay.
And follow up?
Follow up.
So receipts are one thing and fund balances are another, and you're specifically saying receipts here versus from the fund balance, correct?
Through the chair, Representative Johnston, the ADA receipts is a fund code that we have outlined for the ADA Corporation funding. Again, we can follow up and make sure that it's clear where those receipts are coming from.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe I can weigh in on this. ADA receipts is a combination of return on investment and earnings from loans, participation loans, and direct loans made by ADA. Is that a true statement, or do you know?
Through the chair, Representative LeBon, I would like to follow up and make sure that we're getting you accurate information.
I think that's a true statement. So the receipts is the earnings off investments made by ADA, some of them participation loans with banks, some of them direct loans by ADA, some of them investments. And it's the earnings that ADA generates. They're using some of their earnings for this purpose. Dividends are paid under a different formula. And then, of course, if you draw on their capital, which we've talked about that a few times, that's a whole nother path of utilizing ADA for different purposes. But this would be a reasonable use of ADA earnings. And I know in the participation loan world, ADA uses earnings from other investments, prior years' returns, to fund bank participation loans, so they don't go to the bond market every time a bank does a participation loan. That's just additional commentary.
Thank you, Representative. Very helpful. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you tell me about, with these two combined sources of funds, how close does that get to, quote, paying for the cost of the South Denali Visitor Center?
Through the Chair, Representative Ortiz, Laura Kramer for the record. The last updated estimates we had for the project were roughly $27 million. You see that this amount totals to about $25 million, and the reason for that is the last bullet under that project, and that is the possibility of federal and private funds. The phase one of South Denali is completed and was completed using state funding as well as federal funds and private funding. So the department is confident that they could achieve that $27 million mark with those additional funds.
Follow up?
And just for, because I'm not familiar with the South Denali Visitor Center, is that a state park situation? Is that what this is?
Representative Ortiz, through the chair, essentially, yes, it is. I don't know that it is designated a state park. I believe it is. And so this is building that out. Part of the issue is with the current Denali National Park, they are seeing very high numbers of traffic into the park, and this would be able to divert some of that traffic and save on the wear and tear on the roads within Denali National Park.
Thank you.
So who wants this? Because so far the Denali Borough doesn't want it, the Mat-Su Borough doesn't want it. So who exactly wants this project?
Madam Chairman, I know that this is an item that the department has put forward for many years. Like I said, it initially started with phase one, which was the phase one of South Denali, and that has been completed. So it has been a priority of the state's for many years.
So could you tell the committee what phase one was and what exactly revenue does it bring in?
Sure, Madam Chair. Phase one, it was the build out of some trails, some camping spots, some electrical, some roads. I don't have the amount that was funded for that phase, but it brings in roughly $75,000 annually. The initial projections for that revenue for that phase, I believe, were in the $48,000 range, so it's exceeding the revenue expectations.
But we don't know how much we put into it initially, so we don't know what the ratio is to the cost to revenue.
I don't have that in front of me, no. We can get back to you with that number.
Representative Josephson.
Yes. Per Representative LeBond's comment, it sounds like dividends are not synonymous with receipts. That's what I think he said. And so did we mean to use the word dividend here, or did we mean to use the word receipt here?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, this is Lacey Sanders for the record. The dividend funds for AHFC and ADA dividends were intended to be used here. There are available dividends that were made to the state, and that was intentional. In addition, the $10.2 million of ADA receipts was also intentional. It is a separate, they are separate funding sources.
Thanks.
Yep. Representative Ortiz.
Madam Chair, and just for the record, I'm certainly supportive of projects that enhance and assist our tourist industry statewide. So with that said, is there any projections once we get this visitor center in place? I can think of the most recent construction here in this community with the State Museum. That's shown to require some significant ongoing cost and maintenance and upkeep and those kinds of things. Is there any projection as to what those might be if this project, when this project is completed?
Representative Ortiz to the chair, Laura Kramer again. The revenue projections for the project are expected to exceed $1 million by the fifth year of operation. By the fifth year of operation, those revenues are expected to fully cover the operating costs for the phase two, this project right here.
Thank you.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Who will own and operate the Denali Visitor Center when it's complete?
Representative Carpenter, through the chair, the state will own and operate the visitor center. However, we have been in discussions with the Federal Park Service, and they have tentatively committed to possibly running some of the operations for the park for us at no cost to the state.
Just to clarify, a follow-up, I didn't hear whether they do own it or they do not own it. the state does or will not own it?
The state will run and operate,
okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
And if these funds are not utilized here, they are basically unrestricted general funds can be used for other projects. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Any further questions on the Nally South Visitor Center? Seeing none, you may continue.
Thank you. Again, for the record, this is Lacey Sanders. The next item is deferred maintenance. And as the committee may be aware, there is a significant backlog in the state's deferred maintenance projects. The budget before you includes several pieces for deferred maintenance, and I'll walk through each one first. The Department of Administration administers the Public Building Fund, and there is a request for $4.5 million. This is funding that the state agencies put into the fund and use on deferred maintenance project for state-owned buildings. The court's budget request for statewide deferred maintenance is $2.7 million of unrestricted general funds. And with they're allocated their own money for their own deferred maintenance projects. The next item is the Office of the Governor. This is a project for $26,600,000 of designated general funds. This is coming from the Alaska Capital Income Fund. And the intention here is same as what was done last year. It was to have one single project in the Office of the Governor, and the Office of the Governor works with the Department of Transportation and their facilities maintenance group to identify and prioritize the projects for all of the agencies. So instead of having single individual projects throughout each agency, we have one project that allows for flexibility in responding to deferred maintenance projects that may increase or move up on the deferred maintenance list. In the Department of Education, we have the K-12 major maintenance project. This is $7.4 million, again, of the capital income fund, Alaska Capital Income Funds, which is classified as designated general funds. And this is to meet the first project on the K-12 major maintenance list. The university's budget includes a $5 million project of the capital income funds allocated to the university.
So can you explain what the capital income fund is and how does it get its funding?
Certainly. Madam Chair, the Alaska Capital Income Fund is a fund that receives receipts from the Amaretta Hess settlement on an annual basis. Last session, the legislature passed legislation that designates the Alaska Capital Income Fund for use of deferred maintenance.
So funds only come in one source, only from there's no other funding that goes in there from like projects that haven't, that has money left over, goes into this fund, doesn't have those other.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, there have been other deposits into this fund made by the legislature from the unrestricted general funds from the gaming and gambling in recent history. But the primary source of funding that goes into this is from the Amaretta Hess settlement funds.
And how much is in that fund currently?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson. There are two appropriations. One is in the supplemental budget and one is in the capital budget, utilizing the fund balance for deferred maintenance. And I can follow up with that total. But the two requests would utilize the full balance.
Representative LeBron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize for going back up on this slide. I'm going to go back to Ada for a quick question about the receipts. Are those funds, the $10.2 million, being treated as an investment, a loan, or a grant, or do you know?
Through the chair, Representative LeBron, this is an appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources to expend toward this project, so not a grant and not a loan.
It's an investment into the project.
Yes.
Thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The you mentioned, Lacey, at the beginning of the slide how the state has a growing deferred maintenance obligation. Do we have any estimate as to a dollar figure on that deferred maintenance obligation, what it where it stands at right now?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, this is Shelley Wilhoit. The amount is about $9 billion. $9 billion.
$9 billion?
Yes, sir.
Follow-up, Representative Ortiz.
So this is a statement not in support or against, but theoretically, we could use these $10 million in aid receipts and $4.5 million in aid receipts for deferred maintenance, as well as this particular project here. Is that true? Could we legally do that?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, if the legislature decided to use the dividend funds or the ADA receipts towards deferred maintenance, yes, that the legislature can make that decision.
Follow up.
And is it also true that if these deferred maintenance issues don't begin to get addressed in a more full manner, that those costs are only going to significantly increase? Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, that is correct, and that is why there are two requests, one in the supplemental budget as well as one in the capital budget, to make deferred maintenance a priority.
Thank you.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, the statewide prioritization item, the $26.6 million, did you say that was something the previous administration did as well, that the sort of prioritizing decisions for various agencies were made out of the Office of the Governor?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, it is something that we have been working on to get a comprehensive system that outlines what the deferred maintenance prioritization is. It used to be individual agencies would come forward and ask for what they felt was a priority, while there may have been other priority needs that needed to be met first. So with having a single allocation where the Department of Transportation Public Facilities as well as the Office of the Governor is working together to prioritize those needs.
Follow up. Did you say that the previous administration did this as well?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, yes, this is an ongoing project.
Thank you.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are we also looking at the assets, for those assets that we may be better off to remove from the state assets by selling or something like that?
Through the chair, Representative Tilton. Yes, the administration has put forward a governor's directive to work through divesting any facilities, state-owned facilities that may no longer be necessary.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Trying to get a picture of what an annual cost would look like for deferred maintenance. I understand $9 billion total requirement. How fast is that growing, or what's the annual piece of that look like if we were keeping up on it?
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, I don't have information on what the growth is at this time. We may be able to ask the Department of Transportation Public Facilities experts to come before you and explain how their modeling works, or not modeling, but how their process works in determining what the value of those assets are and what the deferred maintenance growth is over time. I don't have that information in front of you.
I'm looking at this $9 billion as a unfunded liability for us, right? And I don't know whether the current spending is keeping up with that, or I suspect it is not. And so I would just like to have a better idea of how bad is it?
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, I believe that there was, 4 or 5 years ago, there was some information on a plan on how to keep up with that that deferred maintenance growth. We can provide that to the committee. It may give you an idea of what it looks like.
Follow up. We didn't keep with that plan, I assume.
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, going off of my memory here, but based on the downturn in the state's financial situation, not as much was kept in the budget to keep up with that plan that was put forward.
I would guess that's the case, considering it's $9 billion. That wasn't a very good plan.
Does it sound like there's much follow-through if it's still 5 years old as well? Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the business world, replacement and reserves is 3 to 5%. That would put it $300 million to $500 million.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bond. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out, so the administration has a public building fund, so kind of what Representative Bond just mentioned. So it sounds like somebody's putting money away because there's $4.5 million that can be utilized in that fund. Why are we not doing that in the statewide priority list? And it also sounds like the courts are doing the same thing, although this is just UGF. I recall that you said that this is money that the courts had also put away.
Through the chair, or to the chair, Representative Wilson, there are certain state-owned buildings that fall under the public building fund. The courts buildings and the university buildings and the schools do not fall under that fund, therefore are not contributing to the fund.
Okay, so I'm more confused than I was before. So the public building fund is going into, we're using those funds in buildings that we don't own?
That are owned, that are state-owned.
So state-owned buildings are underneath this fund, but university and courts are not?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, the university maintains and has its own buildings as well as the court system.
So with the university, does the university put any money away of their own in anticipation that they would need to do deferred maintenance?
Representative Wilson, I can't answer for the university on what they're putting away for their own buildings. They have come to the governor asking for money to address deferred maintenance.
So we could make these matching funds if we wanted to on the $5 million to the university to find out whether or not they put funding away for their buildings.
Representative Wilson, to the chair, Representative Wilson, that is an excellent question that could be asked at the university. I don't have information on how they're allocating their deferred maintenance costs.
Well, I guess for the committee's purpose, if we'd want to do that, we could actually make these matching funds and make sure money's put in by the university. We wouldn't necessarily need the administration to do that. Could we also get a list of where the $26 million was spent last year? And it was my understanding that there was a priority list that was much newer than 5 years ago that was put together, because within the priority list was supposed to be buildings that we weren't going to keep any longer and think about selling and which ones we were going to utilize. So I'm hoping that maybe if you look a little harder, you might be able to find something more current.
To the chair, Representative Wilson, I was referring to a five-year study that was, or a proposal on a plan to move forward with deferred maintenance several years ago. We do have information and can provide the committee on the prioritization list that is available now and is updated as and current.
Perfect, and it shows what buildings that maybe we're trying to sell and consolidate, that would be great. Representative Carpenter.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm thinking of fiscal year 13 or so, where we've got a large amount of spending, large amount of income. Do you know if we had a deferred maintenance list at that point, or were we fully funding our maintenance requirements? Trying to gauge how long we've been deferring maintenance.
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, we can follow up with you on that. My understanding is there has always been a deferred maintenance backlog.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to kind of segue from that, could you give us just a little bit of history here with regard to when the Public Building Fund was established, as well as the Alaska Capital Income Fund? Because it's not brand new, is my understanding. We've had it here for a while. Do you know when that was started and kind of what the intent was?
Through the chair, Representative Sullivan Leonard, I cannot provide you a history on the Public Building Fund. I'm not an expert on that fund. The Alaska Capital Income Fund has been around for a significant amount of time. It has typically been utilized for capital projects. And like, as I mentioned earlier, last session, the legislature designated that fund specifically for deferred maintenance projects.
And that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Carpenter.
Yeah, just wanted to follow up on that request. It would be helpful to know which projects have been deferred for the longest. There's a $9 billion requirement. What is it that's the oldest requirement that hasn't been, you know, maybe been kicking that can down the road? I want a kind of a time frame of which projects have been deferred.
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, yeah, we will provide the spreadsheet that we have available. I don't know if it has a date for example, when something was added to the list, but we can provide the information that we have on that spreadsheet.
Any further questions? Let me continue.
That was the end of the presentation.
Okay, so I passed out the, basically it's taking the big black book and you will see in more detail the list if the case there's any other questions, because I do have a couple. The Arctic Strategic Transportation and Resources Program for the Department of Natural Resources. We put money into this program last year. Could you just explain again what it is, what monies have been spent on it, and where we are with the project?
Madam Chair, yes, you're correct. We did put money forward last year. I want to say it was $10 million for A-STAR is what it's referred to. And it's to essentially build out the North Slope to connect communities, to explore resource development projects and opportunities. The amount in the capital budget this year, I believe, is $3 million. And that had originally come forward as a $5 million request. We asked the department to go back and determine what they truly needed for FY20, and they came back with a $3 million amount.
So what exactly have we expended, and where are we? Did we build any roads, or are we still just in the impact studies?
Madam Chairman, yes. There has been quite a bit of studies that have taken place, a lot of work with the local communities up there to determine impacts on those communities. My understanding is from the appropriation made last year, there is roughly $1.5 million left on that appropriation that is anticipated to be spent down by July 1.
And could any of the NPRA funds that go up in that area, could any of that be utilized to move that project forward quicker?
Madam Chair, that has been a conversation that we have had with the department. No, is the short answer. The longer answer is that it's something that the department, the commissioner herself, is exploring and talking to the federal government if there is a way. I mean, it would require a federal change to the NPRA grant process.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, it's a really request of OMB if this committee could receive transaction sheets and expenditure information of A-STAR's fundings to date. Is that something that we could be copied with?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, and then I have one other question on the Alaska Travel Industry Association of the $7.4 million. There's $1.5 million of that that goes to assure direct flights from Alaska to priority international markets. Exactly what is that?
To the chair, Representative Wilson, the Alaska Travel Industry Association capital project is $7.4 million. That is a grant to a named recipient. So the money is a grant that goes to the Alaska Travel Industry Association, and they utilize the funding with a grant agreement to expend the funds on, I'm not familiar with the term that you're using, but it is mostly used for flyers and handouts and the website that they manage and visitor's guide that is utilized. We do have the department here, but I don't know if they'll have an answer to your question.
I just want to see if we're subsidizing any kind of flights, but the explanation you just gave was what I understand it, but if that is an incorrect statement, I'd like to know.
To the chair, Representative Wilson, we will follow up and make sure whether or not flights are being subsidized or not. The department doesn't have the answer to that right at this moment.
Appreciate it. Any other questions?
May I comment on something? I had a note passed me, and I just want to clarify for the record on the deferred maintenance project. The $9 billion number that was provided earlier is the replacement value of the assets. We will follow up and verify, but the backlog is approximately $1.9 billion. Just to clarify.
Any further questions? And just to make an explanation why you have different colored sheets in your book, it's not just because we like the book to be colorful, so you'll read it. As we get different amendments in, the colors change, so that you know when you're looking at your book that If we get a different color besides blue and pink, it means those are brand new amendments that just came forward. And just on that, on the NPRA funds, that didn't get added until March 27th. Is that something that came in late, or is that normal for those funds to come in?
Representative Wilson, yes, it is a process annually where we receive an estimate when the governor's budget is released each year, and through the amendment process, once the grant application period is closed and the grant awards are made or identified, we submit amendments to the legislature breaking out those allocations so that there's a clear picture of how those grants are being allocated.
Any other questions?
Well, just
Representative Josephson.
Just to follow up on that, although Department of Commerce has some oversight, is there a sense in which it's sort of pro forma because it's federally required?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, they have to follow very specific guidelines in that grant process, and based on the grant applications that are received, they rank them and allocate the funding. But there is not a lot of discretion, if that's answering your question.
Thank you.
Representative Johnston.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. To follow up on your $1.5 million allocation to prioritize international markets, basically China, is there any way to find out, or maybe we're going to have the ATIA here to give us a presentation, because I know of at least three other efforts of getting these direct flights, and I hope there's a coordination of efforts.
That would
just
be nice.
I wanted to put that question on.
We will definitely reach out to them. Any further questions? Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just really quick, I see that we have $6,060,000 for community block grants. Can you give a detailed piece on what those block grants are and who the recipients are?
Through the chair, Representative Sullivan Leonard, this is an annual request that we receive each year. It is $6 million of federal receipts and $60,000 of matching funds. And there is, under the Community Services Block Grant, there is one nonprofit, the Rural Alaska Community Action Program. They receive a portion of the funding, and then under the Community Development Block Grants, I do not see who is receiving that. It's, I believe it's Rural CAP.
It is. It is Rural CAP.
Go ahead. Rural CAP is the one receiving the funding.
Could you tell us, if these are federal funds, why are the communities not matching the funds? Why is the state matching these particular funds and maybe not other federal funds that come into our communities?
To the chair, Representative Wilson, can I call a lifeline on this one? It's been a while since I've dealt with this one.
Your lifeline can put her name on the record?
Thank you. And maybe she can clarify my earlier response.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Hannah Lager. I'm the Division Operations Manager for the Administrative Services Section of the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Through the chair, this appropriation, half of it, so $3 million, half of the federal, goes to Rural CAP as a grant out there, one of, I believe it's a Community Action Association, it's a federal designation that can receive those funds. And they're the only one in the state that can receive those. The other $3 million, along with the $60,000 state match, that is a required match for that $3 million, but it goes out through a competitively awarded grant program. So the recipients aren't listed in the bill because they aren't known yet. We'll know that over the next year as they're awarded.
So again, why do we not have them match the funds? Why are the state matching these funds when I'm sure there's other federal funds that communities match themselves?
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is a required, the $60,000 is required to receive the federal funds. It's a required state match for it.
So we can't make the communities who receive it do it. The state must do it, or is it just funds that must be matched?
Madam Chair, my understanding is that the state must match it to receive the federal funds.
I'd like to see that document. That would be very interesting to see that we can't allow anybody else to participate. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And on that note, on these grant funds that are going out, are there any metrics that show the effectiveness of the programs?
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, I know we do require periodic grant reporting on those once we issue them. I don't have the detail on any metrics or responses that we get back, but we can certainly provide that.
Last call. Any more questions? Seeing none. So I know tomorrow's the day you've all been waiting on. So starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow will be amendments. All amendments have already been turned in, and so we will see those on our desk at 9 o'clock on HB 39, the operating budget, loans and funds, and HB 40, the mental health budget. And with that, it is 2:21 p.m., and we are adjourned.